across the nation, and it's a sin. The gods, the fiends, the fraud, they're messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Get it out.
Move to my music, play that fucking music. Live through my music, yeah.
This is the Multimedia Men and Women special edition of the podcast of your favorite Multimedia Men and Women. We are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. But this is our special edition, WWE edition. The last time you heard from us was before WrestleMania 31, where we where your Angelic Hill from Central Texas came on the air and told us all she thought about WrestleMania, and I think she lost a couple bets, right?
I did, and I'm actually going to be making that E-Sing song later today, and posting that all over Twitter and my Facebook because I lost a bet.
What's your Twitter handle?
Angie Darlin 23, and it's A-N-G-I. Darlin, D-A-R-L-I-N, the number 23.
All right.
Angie Darlin, 23.
All righty. So let's talk. Let's do a little talking about WrestleMania 31. I think as a show, I think we all went into it thinking it was just going to be okay. But, man, I really was surprised on how amazing it was. Like, it was really badass.
Even the kickoff matches in the kickoff show were just, whoa.
So, really? I was completely shocked that the kickoff show before WrestleMania actually started, they did the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and they did the tag team match, which that tag team match that if you missed it, the tag team match, one of the coolest moves there was the Super Tower of Doom, where literally three guys got on each other's shoulders and did a suplex. It was crazy.
It was insane. It was
good. Who won that match again? Yeah, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro retained the title because they had it before.
I told you they would, didn't I?
Oh, yeah,
yes.
You won that one, and then
I did win that one.
But that was a really cool match. And then they had the kickoff match before the pay per view actually started was the Andre the Giant Battle Royale. And lo and behold, I can't believe it! Big Show actually won the Battle Royal. I can't believe it. I'm not.
Yes, maybe now he'll retire a winner. It's not looking like that. But you know what? I'm still hopeful that he will leave us a winner.
That's true. It was a solid match. I'm really funny that Curtis Axel got knocked out pretty shortly in. And I can't believe Titus O'Neil, which I said on the last podcast, he stayed in it for actually a while.
He was a contender. I was laughing at you the whole time watching it. I'm like, ha ha, Titus is still there. but what got me was The Miz and Mizdow had their big showdown at WrestleMania, and The Mizdow kicked ass.
He finally stood up to The Miz.
He won the damn thing.
It came down to Damian Sandow, who was known as Mizdow, who is The Miz's stunt double, and The Big Show. And I'd love Mizdow to win, but I think they're going to use him in a bigger storyline than Big Show just winning that title. Because if you remember last year, Cesaro used this gimmick of winning this Andre the Giant Battle Royal for just like maybe a week or two, and then it was over.
Yeah,
so,
didn't Jack Swagger destroy the... who was it that destroyed the trophy? Because the trophy got all destroyed, and then they had it back, and I'm like, oh, I guess they fixed it.
Yeah, it's fixed now, so... So yeah, that was crazy. No, wait. Okay, so yeah, those were the two kickoff matches. Big Show won, and Tyson Kidd and Cesaro retained the titles. So WrestleMania started out. It was completely outside in San Francisco. It was a beautiful day there, and I mean, it was packed. Like, I think they said there were over 76,000 people there.
76,000. Was it 976?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it was something crazy.
It was insane.
So the first match they had, they started out with one of my favorite matches, was the ladder match, the 7-man ladder match, Intercontinental Champion. And yeah. it was insane. It was R-Truth, it was Dean Ambrose, it was
Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan,
Luke Harper, and
Barrett.
Yes, yeah, so on our last podcast, you would know that you would have heard your Angela Kiel say that she thought Bad News Barrett was going to retain the titles, but we all know that didn't happen.
That was the first match in which I totally blew my predictions this pay-per-view. That just the first in a night of disappointments for me. But not to get ahead of ourselves, my night ended pretty well.
So it was that ladder match. So one of the key moments in that match was, I mean, I don't think any of us really thought Dean Ambrose was going to win, but he took a pretty bad bump when he got basically power-bombed through a ladder, outside the ring, not inside the ring. And he didn't recover. He didn't come back.
Had medical staff all over him after that.
Yeah, so he was down there, and then it became between Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler, who in this past Raw...
Headbutting match.
Yeah, so now... Yeah, go ahead.
You just don't go into a headbutting match with a goat.
That's... That's true. And so the headbutting match, at the very end of the match, everybody was, getting taken care of. And then it was Daniel Bryan at the top of the ropes. And then Dolph Ziggler, like a bolt of lightning, ran up the ladder, unlike anybody I've ever seen. Better than the Hardys, he just ran up the ladder. And Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan started just headbutting each other one after the other. And that's kind of played on through Raw and SmackDown. But of course, like your Angela Kiel said, you can't win against a headbutt with a goat. So
no, you just can't. It's just a stupid thing. Here, let me go into a headbutting contest with a goat. Yeah, that works out.
And I want to say that, I mean, I love Dolph Ziggler. I love Daniel Bryan. Everybody likes Daniel Bryan right now, and so I like that they're pushing this Intercontinental Championship pretty well. But the Dolph Ziggler, I think, he's working his way up. I think Dolph Ziggler can be one of the best in the business. So
he is one of the best in the business. He's just, he could very well be a main eventer, but, he's enjoying his time with the Intercontinental Championship, and, I'm cool with that. I like seeing the show off. I'd really like to see him turn heel again, because he's just an amazing little bad guy. Love him.
Yeah. But
then again, he's also one of those dissenters that I keep talking about. Got all his job back with the... I'm still bitter. Sorry, guys.
Your Angela Kiel is still bitter. So that was basically the ladder match. It was a great way to kick off WrestleMania. It was pretty cool. Let's move on. Let's just talk about Triple H versus Sting. If you missed it, I guess the Terminator franchise, Paramount Pictures, paid a lot of money to be in WrestleMania. So Triple H actually came out as a Terminator with a bunch of other Terminators.
King of the Terminators. I'm like, that is badass. I totally tripped out when I saw it. I'm like, oh, wow. Because Triple H has a way of, whenever he does actually get into the ring, his entrances are all theatrical now. Last WrestleMania, he was this badass warrior, savage king thing. And it was just amazing. I love his entrances. Then again, I love Triple H anyway. So, just saying.
That's true. Yeah, it was really cool. So if you were a fan of Terminator, you get to see Triple H be a Terminator with a bunch of other Terminators. So in this match, we thought this was going to be a pretty slow match, and it was fairly slow.
Don't say we. I told you it was going to be a good match.
You know, yeah. So, well, a lot of people, not you, but I thought it was going to be a slow match, but luckily, I think Triple H and Sting knew it was kind of a slow match show. They had interference with DX and New World Order. So we had Hulk Hogan, we had Kevin Nash, we had Hart, we had X-Pac come out, and we had Shawn Michaels come out and basically win it for Triple H.
We had, you know, it turned into the Monday Night Wars Revisited. Every Attitude Era was marking out, I guarantee you. And it turned out to be DX Triple H on top. And I'm like, hell yeah, suck it, NWO.
Yes, so it was interesting. So if you're unfamiliar with this, the Sting was always with WCW, which was the rival to WWF back then. And they were two companies competing, and it was called the Monday Night Wars. So they built this angle of Sting coming in to finally destroy Triple H. And so you had everybody from WCW come out to help Sting, and then people from the WWF come out to help Triple H. And so they did a good job with this, because these two older gentlemen who are really awesome wrestlers, just they can't do all the high-flying stunts to keep everybody's interest for 20, 30 minutes. So they had all the big superstars come out to help it and make it run more fluidly, which I thought was awesome. And it was cool to see everybody at WrestleMania, you know, get to do their finishing moves, or and Shawn Michaels deliver his sweet chin music to Sting.
It was sweet.
Now, do you think that it was weird that the two shook hands? I'm glad they did shake hands. Like,
no, I don't think it was weird at all, because going into the match, Triple H had no respect for Sting, no respect for him. But the story they told in the match, I mean, both men destroyed each other, and just to try to prove who was the better man. And Triple H ended up being the better man, as I told you he would be. But Sting took him to the limits. So, you know, I think it was really cool that Triple H gave props to Sting for, you know, finally making it to the big time. Good job, buddy. You know, I thought it was really cool. Yeah, I got mad respect for H for that.
Yeah, it was a solid match. You know, I think everybody at home enjoyed it, and I mean, who knows if we'll see a lot more of Sting, but it was a good build-up, it was a good match, they did a good job at WrestleMania this year, but moving on, let's talk about, let's talk about Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker. Undertaker hasn't been in the ring for a long time, and he finally came back. He hasn't even been doing his promos, coming out for promos.
No, first time we've seen Undertaker in a year, since the streak got broke last year. Hey, look, Undertaker looked great.
He did. He really looked good. He actually looked like he muscled up, and he's been practicing. And Bray Wyatt and him, man, I like the Bray Wyatt-Brock Lesnar match when Brock beat him, but, man, this Bray Wyatt-Undertaker match was awesome and solid. And, even though they really didn't talk, man, it was all in their body language and eyes, and you just see, like, it was like a big feud type of thing that you could have gone on for a long time, but how they sold it, it was really good. But Undertaker ended up winning, which is good.
Definitely. And here's a really cool thing that I didn't find out till later. Bray Wyatt wrestled that, you know, with an injury.
How was he injured?
Right up until the beginning of the match, Bray Wyatt had been in a cast all.
That's right. How did he get injured?
I don't quite remember anything to do with the match, but I didn't read that part. I'm sure it's somewhere on the internet how Bray Wyatt got injured, but I mean, that match itself was great, because one of my favorite parts was towards the end, Bray Wyatt starts doing his little spider walk thing. Just sits up and looks at him, and Bray Wyatt folds. It was great. Made me giggle.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, that's one match, you know, I predicted Bray to win, because I figured, you know, the streak's broken.
Yeah, it's, you know? Yeah.
That's one of those matches I was totally okay being wrong.
It was, I liked it, and I enjoyed it. I'm glad it didn't lull or anything, so, or drag. It was good. It's good.
None of the matches dragged.
No, not one bit.
It's an amazing pay-per-view.
So let's go on to Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton, which was awesome. That's
lost over this one.
Yeah, you lost this bet. Randy Orton beat Seth Rollins, and it was a fantastic match, man. It just proves that Seth Rollins literally he's in the top three wrestlers, you know, of the last several years. Like, he's so agile, he's tough, he's good on the mic, he's an excellent heel, and just the way his body can move and jump around is so good.
All that CrossFit, just saying.
Yeah, he's excellent. And that match was really good. Orton did an equally fantastic job.
Yeah, Orton was on his game, too. Now, the big thing of this match, I mean, it was all amazing. I mean, there was moonsaults off the ropes, and, I mean, they countered each other. I mean, they were just on their game. They have amazing chemistry in the ring. But how Orton won the match is just insane. He countered the curb stomp by using Seth's momentum, threw Seth up. As Seth was in the air, Orton twists his body, catches Seth, bam, RKO out of nowhere. It was probably the best move of the entire pay-per-view because you're still talking about it. And the fact that I am a huge Seth Rock fan and I give Randy props for it, it was an amazing move. If you haven't seen RKO, Google it. YouTube it. It is worth it. And yes, that's me, the Seth Rollins fan, saying that.
So, yeah, this RKO was unbelievable. I think everybody in watching it at home or at bars probably stood up and went, "What?" And because
that just happened.
Yes, wow. Seth Rollins literally doing the curb stomp and then just like Randy making him like run up Randy and then into the RKO. I mean, it's just crazy.
It was insane. It was like, as much as I hate to see Seth lose, I go back and I watch that RKO. It was a pure, beautiful move. I mean, it was just beautiful.
Agreed. So that was that match. Let's move on to the Divas match, which was the Bella Twins versus AJ Lee and Paige. Before we get into this match, breaking news as of yesterday afternoon, AJ Lee has retired from the in the ring. We don't have a reason why. We just know that she's retired, and which is interesting because Paige and hers storyline, I mean, although it's kind of they've been frenemies for a while, I mean, they were really good together, and I hate to see it. And then, AJ Lee is married in real life to CM Punk, who was the champion for the longest time, for like 3 years. And
there was this ugly split between him and WWE. There's no reason to really go into it. Just know it was ugly.
Yeah, it was. It's still a source of sore contention, but yeah, CM Punk did move over to the UFC. He has yet to have his first fight in UFC, but I mean, Vince is probably upset about it, Vince McMahon, but he was interviewed on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast recently, and Stone Cold asked Vince straight out about CM Punk's like, it is what it is. Like, we're always open to have him come back. So, I mean, I wouldn't say CM Punk's done in the WWE forever, but for probably the next several years, probably in the same way Brock Lesnar left the WWE to go to UFC for a while. And now Brock Lesnar's back in probably the best shape he's ever been in. But
if CM Punk comes back, it's going to be a while.
I think it'll be 5 years at least. But
yeah, that's how long it took Jericho to come back.
Yeah, so AJ Lee is CM Punk's wife. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it or AJ just wanted is just because it says
she's been the queen of the divas for a while. So
it was weird how they worded it because she said she retired from in-ring stuff. So that means wrestling. That doesn't mean that she can't be a general manager of the divas backstage or set up matches or a manager for somebody.
That's true, but with the wording of it, but I wouldn't expect to see her on TV for a while. I mean, it's But then again, watch her show up on Raw.
Yeah, exactly. So that's...
You know, I wish her the best. I mean, I have huge respect for AJ. She is one of the best divas on the main roster. And I'm sad to see her go, but, you know, if that's what she wants, more power to her. I fully support AJ's decision.
Absolutely.
Have a happy time.
And this lets way for the other divas to come out, because basically for the last several months, it's really only been the Bella Twins and AJ and Paige, so...
I think they're about to call Charlotte up. Charlotte is Ric Flair's daughter. She's been the queen of the NXT women wrestlers down there, and she is due for a call-up. She is an amazing female competitor. Her thing is that she's genetically superior to all other competitors, and you know what? That's not boasting. She is amazing. So I think they're going to call Charlotte up soon.
Yeah, I totally agree. But at the WrestleMania 31 pay-per-view, the match between the Bella Twins and AJ and Paige was actually really good. We got off on a tangent. We had to say our goodbyes to AJ, but we're back. We're back, guys and girls.
Yeah.
But yeah, that match was really good.
It really was. You know, I've been really hard on main roster divas matches for a while now, but this match was on par with, you know, what I have seen women's matches in NXT be. Because, you know, I'm kind of spoiled because they're on top of it. But this Divas match, it was hard-hitting. They did not pull punches. There was no slow moment in the match. Like, you know, we said earlier, you know, there was no point at which it dragged on. And you're like, okay, let's get on with it. Can somebody please pin somebody? No, they kept my interest the entire time. And it was an amazing match.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was the Divas now are just badass. Like they're I'm glad they stopped doing the pillow fights and the stupid, you know, ones where you have to get them undressed. I'm glad they're treated as real wrestlers now, and they are awesome. And I think Trish Stratus and Lita paved the way for that. So
they did.
Yeah.
That's why they're Hall of Famers.
Yep, absolutely. So that was that match. Let's move on to the U.S. Championship, which was John Cena and Rusev, which was, you know...
I think of all the matches of the night, this one was the meh match.
This was...
Again, it had John Cena in it, so I'm not that surprised.
Well, this is the most forgettable match, just because I don't think there was, like, a ton of big moments in it. It was just, you know... old school style wrestling, basically. And that's what John Cena has really become, just an old school style wrestler. And he does, I mean, and that's why so many people boo him, is because he's literally not taking any risks. He's not doing anything different.
That's why people booed him, because he sucks.
No, I mean, he's an awesome wrestler and awesome on the mic. He's just, he literally for the last 10 years has been the same person and been the same wrestling moves. There's like no difference about it. I mean, at least you say Dean Ambrose or Dolph Ziggler or Daniel Bryan, they take big risks. They take these big bumps. They take they're funny. They're doing this. I mean, John Cena literally comes out day in, day out, and like, no bullying. I'm here to protect America. And it's just like the same thing over and over.
Okay, yes, he's all patriotic, and I can't believe I'm about to defend John Cena. I can feel myself vomit as I say this. But no, he has, I have been noticing that he has been trying some new things. Like, he did this weird springboard off the second rope cross body stunner thing. I don't know. It was so un-John Cena. I'm like, John Cena doesn't jump off the second rope.
Yeah, he did that at WrestleMania, and everybody thought he just did a Stone Cold Stunner, which was awesome, but, you know.
But it was off the second rope. I mean, he jumped, boom. It was like, wow, John Cena doesn't jump off the second rope.
It was pretty interesting, to say the least.
Not being nice to John Cena.
But John Cena did win the match. Rusev finally lost the U.S. title, and John Cena is now the U.S. champion, which is what
He even broke out of, he's the first person to actually break Rusev's submission, the accolade, which is like camel clutch sort of thing.
Yep.
Going on.
Which I must say, that, I mean, you got to give John Cena props for that, because Rusev is a big dude, and for him to literally to, like, stand up like that with him on him, that's pretty impressive.
Well, John Cena is, like, stupid, crazy strong anyway. Again, why am I saying all these nice things about John? Stop it. What have you done to me?
We are tricking you into loving John Cena.
No, just no.
So that was that match. Let's talk about when The Rock came out and the Stephanie McMahon came out, and Triple H came out, and it looked like Rock was going to get into a fight with The Rock or with Triple H and Stephanie. But then who was in the crowd? UFC female champion Ronda Rousey. She's been in tons of movies such as The Expendables 3. Got into the ring and gave Stephanie a little beat down. But I think there's a bigger story there, because Triple H did call on The Rock and said, like, I've beat you many times before. Yep. So, yeah, it was cool to see a possible feud for next WrestleMania in Dallas next year against The Rock and Triple H. I mean, I don't know if it'll happen, but they kind of... It looked like The Rock and Triple H might go at it just because...
At it months ago.
The what? You there? Did we lose Angie?
They hinted at it months ago. The last time The Rock was on WWE TV that doesn't involve the Royal Rumble, the last time he was on Raw, they hinted at possibly a showdown between The Rock and Triple H at a place where they would break records, which would be AT&T Stadium. If you filled AT&T Stadium up, it would break an audience record. Like, I think it was like a Guinness World Record or something. I'm not sure. It's been a minute since I've watched that segment. But no, they hinted at it, that there was going to be at least one more final showdown between The Rock and Triple H. And, you know, I'm always going to be Team Triple H.
Me too. But it was fun to see The Rock back. And it's just fun. They did like a little storyline dialogue. It was good to see Stephanie get taken out. So that was cool. But let's move on to the main event. Let's move on to Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. And I think to start out this match, we all pretty much knew Roman wasn't going to win, at least for, like, even in the first 30 seconds of the match, we just knew, like, this wasn't going to happen. But as Roman Reigns has been saying in each promo for WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar, he's like, Brock Lesnar is a man god, and I'm just going to make him bleed. And Roman Reigns did make Brock Lesnar bleed.
He made Brock Lesnar bleed, like, within the first few minutes of the match. But I'm going to say, within the first 30 seconds of the match, Roman went for a ride. Yeah, of the first F5 of, what, 4 that he got that night?
No. It was, like, 7 or 8 that night.
No. He got at least 10 suplexes of varying kinds, but only, like, 4 F5s.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
insane. It went to Suplex City. It was amazing.
Suplex City, bitch. That was a hashtag we used. But in the very
city has been Brock Lesnar has just coined, like, the best thing ever, because Suplex City is everywhere, in little internet memes, all over Twitter. People are chanting it, you know, in the crowds. I mean, Brock Lesnar had no earthly idea what he was doing when he said Suplex City, bitch. He just, like, people just took to it. I use it.
Yeah, it's awesome. So in the first few seconds of the match, Roman Reigns got F5, got handled, but then Roman Reigns literally hit Brock Lesnar a couple times and literally broke skin, and I feel like that's when Brock thought that he was in the UFC octagon rather than a wrestling ring, because from there it really just got violent. Like, so WWE used to be in the Attitude Era, which was Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, everything was bloody and gory and stuff, but now for the last few years it's been the PG era, which means there's no blood, there's not a lot of cursing.
There's blood, it's cleaned up.
Yeah, it's real fast, but on WrestleMania, I mean, Brock cut himself open on the forehead and blood was all over the place. Like, it was crazy.
I felt like I was wrestling 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was like it was almost an ECW match, which was really cool.
The match between Roman and Brock was, okay, I know I've said this about basically every match except, you know, the John Cena Rusev one, but this match was great. I mean, gotta give Roman props. That man can take a beating, and he laughed at Brock the entire time. You go back and watch it, Roman is smiling and laughing, even when Brock Lesnar takes his gloves and just bitch slaps him.
Which looked like it was really painful, too.
Oh, man. It was... Roman took a beating. I gotta give him that. But after Brock, you know, cut himself open, you know, and how that happened is he got frustrated because Roman Reigns seems to have inherited John Cena's superpower of kick out at 2, and he could not get Roman to stay down for the 3 count. So Brock got frustrated and he ended up throwing Roman out and following him. And when Brock went to introduce Roman's face to the ring post, Roman reversed it and bam, there was Brock Lesnar's face into the ring post. And that's when everything started going downhill for Brock. And so when they were back in the ring, it took 3 Superman punches to put Brock on his back, and when he went for another one, Brock caught him. It was just like this amazing end of the match that, you know, can we get to my favorite part of the match now?
Yeah, so as the match was coming to a close between Brock and Roman Reigns, something crazy happened that changed... Something has changed the course of the WWE now. What is that?
Yes. Something beautiful happened. God that is listening, there are dogs that are deaf with how loud and high-pitched this music hit. There comes Mr. Money in the Bank running down to the ring to cash in to make it a triple threat match in which and then he made the title. That's very happy. Still very happy.
Yeah, so it was crazy. Seth Rollins finally cashed his Money in the Bank in at WrestleMania. Like, some people, I want to say that we did predict that, but
it was an off chance.
Yeah, it was, but...
About it, and I'm like, well, this could happen, and holy crap, it happened.
It happened, and he got it. And you know what? What we learned from Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, which is awesome, if Brock Lesnar ever wants to give Seth Rollins an F5, Seth Rollins, with his agility, can flip out of that and, like, do a backflip.
Not an F5.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I meant, not an F5. A suplex. If Brock Lesnar tries to take Seth Rollins to Suplex City, Seth Rollins can pretty much backflip out of it, which is going to be very tough for Brock Lesnar nowadays. But, yeah, it was crazy. So, it was a great end to WrestleMania. Seth Rollins is the WWE champ. Now, the following night on Raw, the big thing was that Brock Lesnar came out and Seth Rollins came out. And Brock Lesnar literally went insane. Like, he literally went crazy. He started suplex.
Destroyed everybody and everything. But the reason for it is Brock Lesnar wanted his rematch. And Seth was all like, well, you know, I'm kind of jet lagged and my foot hurts from curb stomping you and Roman the night before. And you know what? I'm just not at my best. So not tonight. You can have your rematch, but not tonight. And that is not the answer Brock Lesnar wanted to hear, because he then proceeded to just Hulk out and destroy everything,
including the camera people in the ring
cameramen, announcers, tables, J&J security. There was nobody, unless your name was Paul Heyman. But even then, I think if Paul Heyman had gotten too close, he might have gone to Suplex City. It was not pretty.
Yeah, it was nuts.
It was funny, though. I was like, yeah, that's the Beast.
So Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, I think they're all, well, at least Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar are pretty angry about what happened, but Seth Rollins couldn't be happier. And Seth Rollins is very excited. He thinks he deserved it.
He does deserve it. What do you mean he thinks? You say that like he doesn't deserve it. And that's the hot thing. Guy in the back, he's there day in, day out, doing everything he can. Entertained. He's a champion, you know? Colin was the savior of the WWE. He brought back the authority. He is the architect. He totally deserves that title.
Granted, while I agree with you, but he didn't deserve it in this match because he really did wait for them to be pretty much done with it. But, I mean, that's part of the game. That's part of the Money in the Bank. He can do it. Yeah, that's
part. That is the point of that.
Exactly.
Anywhere, anytime. If Brock at his house and such show, you cash in. Anytime, anywhere. That's the Money in the Bank. And, you know, the thing of a triple threat match. You don't have to pin the champion.
Nope. It is anyways necessary. So, yeah. So, on Raw, it was crazy. They really got there. Brock Lesnar just went crazy. So,
Brock Lesnar got himself indefinitely suspended.
Well, we'll see what happens. However, let's talk about SmackDown and Raw. Where do you see these storylines going for the next pay-per-view and over the next year?
I see that The Miz and Mizdow are definitely going to come to a head. I think they're going to have a match in Extreme Rules because that's what they're building up to. The Intercontinental title. Oh, Sheamus is back. Boom. Though he looks like a roided up rooster. You know, it's like the battle of the farmyard animals, the goat versus the rooster. And if you throw in Bad News Barrett with his bull hammer, you know, just saying we should have a barnyard match. Triple threat barnyard match, a bull versus the rooster versus the goat.
That would be awesome, but it was interesting to see how people were not kind to Sheamus.
That's because he does look stupid. That's exactly what they thought. He looks stupid. Just saying.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts.
Oh, and in case anyone wants why I'm saying this, Sheamus now is sporting a big red mohawk.
Yeah, he has a giant mohawk now, big red mohawk, and his
beard is all braided or something.
Yeah, he looks stupid, but the audience kind of let him know that, so I don't know what he's going to do, but...
He's going to keep it because he is. Now, so you know, I appreciate that. He sells SmackDown.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, keep at it. Are you done? It's not letting him bother. Letting it bother him. So he's just going to keep it as is. You know, there's no reason for him to change. I mean, it's getting him hate, and that's what he's feeding off of right now. Because Sheamus is back to destroy the underdogs. It's about time somebody stood up for the big guy and destroyed those little underdog people.
There you go. Well, so where do you see Bray Wyatt going now?
Honestly, I think we're not going to see Bray Wyatt for a minute so he can heal. They're probably going to write it off as the Undertaker's victory over Bray Wyatt. He's now regrouping himself. Potential opponents for Bray Wyatt. That's kind of up in the air. I don't know where to put that one, honestly, because you know if he had won, then that would put him more main event status. But now, I don't know. That one's kind of up in the air. Yeah. Where do you put Bray Wyatt? I mean, he beat Dean Ambrose in that feud. And see, Dean Ambrose is another one. That's where. What are they doing with him?
Well, that's kind of like what they've been doing with Ambrose for a long time now. They just, he's a badass. He's like...
They do, but they don't know what to do with him. They really don't. It's like, is he going after the Continental title or is he going after the U.S. title? Because Dean, on Raw, John Cena, being the new U.S. champion, it has issued an open challenge. Anybody in the back on Raw, come out and challenge him for the title. First person to accept was Dean Ambrose, and that match, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
John Cena and him, yeah. Dean Ambrose, and what those two can do in a ring together. It was a wonderful match. Those two just feed off each other, and it was cool. But the ST, John, I was really praying he would. That John would tap. And I didn't see John Cena win. So that, and Dean Ambrose was, it is, he held the title longer than anybody else, the U.S. title longer than anybody else. And I really would love to see the U.S. belt back on Dean Ambrose.
I mean, that would be awesome, but I don't see them going that way just yet.
Nobody's taking that dang
away from
Cena.
Right. So, yeah, that's, I guess that's basically where we are in WWE right now. What's the next pay-per-view?
Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules. So, I would imagine there's going to be, I don't think Brock Lesnar will be there, but...
No, he's indefinitely suspended.
Yeah.
Now, there should be a match between... Randy Orton and Seth Rollins. They've been pretty much said that much on SmackDown, but it's not official.
But they did it, but like at WrestleMania, Randy Orton did beat Seth Rollins before Seth Rollins got the WWE champion. So there is that angle of Randy Orton's going to try that again. But we'll see how that goes. Seth Rollins will cheat to win, but that's how that goes. But yeah, Seth Rollins will probably be champ for until next year. I don't see that going away. What about you? Did we lose you? Do we lose you? I think we lost your Angela Keel, but we'll try to get her back here in a second. Did we lose you? Are you back? Are we back?
Back.
We're back. Not sure what happened.
Not sure what happened.
But we were. I was talking that I think that that Randy Orton and Seth Rollins. So Randy Orton did beat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania before Seth Rollins got the title. So they have this angle, but I don't see Seth Rollins losing for at least a year with this title. So he'll be cheating to win. He'll be doing whatever he needs to do. What do you think? We lost her again? Oh, we lost your Angela Keel again. We'll try to regroup with her shortly. But yeah, that's basically where WWE is right now, folks. With Seth as your awesome champion, he is... So that Seth is the champion, and he is doing well. Is Angelic there?
I am. I don't know what's going on. Technical difficulties, everybody. Technical difficulties.
Yeah, technical difficulties over here. But yeah, I was just basically wrapping things up, if that's where WWE is right now. And tomorrow's Raw should almost set the...
Monday's Raw.
Yeah, not Easter Sunday, yeah. Monday's Raw, I'm a day ahead. Monday's Raw should most likely set the stage for the next pay-per-view, which is Extreme Rules, where we'll start to get our storylines for that pay-per-view. So we will definitely be back next week with... a recap and our thoughts on where WWE's headed from here. You have anything else to add, Angelica Hill?
Seth Rollins, he is my champion.
There you go. You heard it from your Angelica Hill. So I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics, and your Angelica Hill, who is our wrestling expert here at Boomstick Comics. Yeah, a wrestling guru. She's our expert. So we'll be back next week with the podcast, our multimedia men and women podcast. Again, find us on Stitcher Radio. Find us on iTunes. Rate us. Review us. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and let us know what you want for us to do or do a game or whatnot. So we'll be back. And hopefully, we will let you know if we're going to SmackDown, which is in Dallas this week. But we'll find out soon.
Fingers crossed, people. Fingers crossed.
So we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.